This episode was helped brought to you by our newest sponsor, Kelowna Brewing Company. They're a brewery out there in Eastern Iowa. So if you're in the area, make sure to stop by Kelowna and check out their brewery. Great food at the restaurant there. Great beer, obviously. If you're in the Midwest, check out any Hy-Vees. I believe they carry the six packs and they have different types of flavors. So you guys are going to want to, you know, definitely try that out. And I think throughout this whole process, Fishing Kid and myself for Beer Fish Fanatics, we're going to be doing some giveaways here and there. If you guys can go ahead and tag us here and there with your Kelowna beer. So other than that, enjoy the episode, guys. All right, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Beer Fish Fanatics. This is Grandy with Ma Pa Fishing. We have
Kit with the Fishing Kit YouTube channel.
And today we're on site with the man of the hour. Helped me get on some nice fish. Mr. Denny with Float Fish Adventures. How you doing today, sir?
Hey, guys. Kit was very helpful for you too.
Agreed.
I'm not taking all the credit. Well, all I did was say, hey, don't do that.
Right. Yeah. I was just like, why are you doing that? You know, you should do this.
Do something different.
We'll talk to everybody about that because I'm pretty sure you guys have had a situation where you're not as good as me fishing. And then you have gentlemen like this that obviously know what the hell they're doing. But I figured out a few things this morning. I changed some things up. We'll get into that. But I caught my PB of something today, so it was kind of cool.
Standing on the shoulders of dwarfs.
Yeah. Quick shout out to our sponsor, Kelowna Brewing Company. I am doing Fishing Kit and myself are doing the coffee with, how do you pronounce that name again?
Coffee Cream Ale.
It is. Kierkegaard. Yeah. I think previous episode I messed that up. The Philosopher series. So we're drinking that. Cheers, guys.
Cheers. I'm going to go grab that koozie over there real quick.
Go ahead.
I'm not used to doing this.
Speaking of the microphone.
Yeah. Just so everybody knows, we're in a location south of where we normally fish, which is south of Iowa. And we're in a body of lake where the fish are enormous, at least for the blue cats here. They have some amazing blue cats that are just out of the, you know, realm of size-wise, which is really cool. And that's pretty much why we came down here. Met up with Denny. We actually got Saki fishing back there. Sean also, he's here too. I think you caught a couple blues, right, Sean? There you go. And I came down here because, you know, obviously it's my number one, it's my birthday weekend. And the boss.
It is.
Yeah, it is.
Happy birthday, man.
Oh, thanks, man.
I didn't know that.
Happy 50th.
Really, dude?
I'm out of the loop.
I'm not 50. 41. But anyways, I got the pink slip to come down. I was allowed to leave. It was a struggle. I'm not going to lie. I had to work for that.
I'm a 40-year-old man
who's
allowed to leave home.
I was allowed to leave home, and I had to work for it. I'm not going to lie. So, it was a chance of a lifetime because I see Fishing Kit and you, Danny, catch these enormous fish that we don't get to catch in Iowa. And I came down here yesterday, super excited, hoping to catch it. I got skunked yesterday. But with the tips of Fishing Kit and Denny, I was able to get on my PB this morning. And I'll get to that in a little bit. But other than that, how's this trip been for you guys? We'll start with Denny. How's this trip been? Has it been what you expected? I mean, when you come down here, what do you expect, I guess?
First off, when I come down, I come down by myself a lot. I mean, I fish by myself a lot. And so what I expect is to sleep in the back of my truck and fish all day. So to begin with, like having a base camp when you guys are like, oh, we're cooking food again. So I've eaten more camp food and it was delicious. And I want to thank you guys for like, you know, all the hospitality and the good food. That's been amazing. This is full on glamping for me, right? I don't ever camp like this. So this has been cool. It's been cool to, you know, be here with just a crew of people and watching other people. You know, seeing you get on fish finally, yeah, that was cool, right? I like that. I mean, I come down and obviously whenever I go fish, I mean, you know, this is sort of a I'm usually trying to go someplace where there is the potential to catch some form of trophy. And you don't ever expect that, but you know, you figure if you can get on a few solid fish, then it's a good trip, you know. So
yeah.
So this has been pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Yeah. Thanks for
joining
us.
Did I answer your question?
I think you did.
Because I talked for a lot.
That's
all right. A lot there.
It's okay. How about you, Kit? How's the trip been for you? Everything you expected? What goals do you have right now, or did you reach, or go ahead?
Hit my PB, so that's a plus. Well, like back home, we're not used to this type of fishing because we're fishing in 50, like anywhere between like 30 and 50 feet of water. And most lakes in Iowa, it's 30 tops, and we're fishing the, first 15 feet of it or so. Mm-hmm. But here, we're fishing deep and suspending baits. That's a, I love dragging baits and stuff for blue cats, but seeing that takedown in the kayak, oh man, when your rod's just like doo, 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 in the water, man, I don't know, man, it's a toss-up.
The bite on suspended baits when you're suspending them straight down, that takedown is cool. It's totally cool.
And don't be afraid to change your setup, and then others, make sure you guys listen to people who actually know what they're doing. It helped, because I had a setup where, you know, I had a float on my, you know, the end of my leader and everything to kind of, for drifting purposes, right?
But yeah, you were set up for dragging.
Exactly. And the thing was, we're not drifting because we're actually anchored down at our location, and it makes no sense in a way to have the way Denny and Kit was telling me. It made no sense to have that float. If we're suspended fishing, if we're anchored down, just get rid of that float and literally go from the, you know, the swivel or whatever, the leader, straight to the hook to your bait.
Yeah, Carolina rig, pretty much.
There you go. Right. And it made a difference because I think I had no bites yesterday. Today I had multiple bites, and then obviously I caught my PB blue cat. So
when you're suspended like that, if you've got a Carolina rig, what happens is you're just inviting big tangles, because your main line goes straight down to the sinker, and then your leader is then going to float up to the float, and then between the float and the hook is going to sink back down. And when you're suspended, you're going to be swaying, you know. So what mm-hmm. you're doing is you're just churning that. You've got three lines next to each other. They're just going to churn and tangle.
I know we said Carolina rig in the original recording. What I meant was the Santee Cooper rig is what you don't want to use when you're suspending baits.
So yesterday I had to retie three times. Today I retied zero. So, you know, Denny's spot on that. So thanks, gentlemen, for giving me that tip on that. Weather-wise, it is freaking 100 degrees right now. So
I love it. It's so awesome.
It's we're in the shade.
I love the heat.
Denny's a masochist. He likes swass.
Yeah, I don't know.
Swamp ass.
Swamp.
So that's Swass Master.
Swass.
The Swass Master series.
It's definitely the heat is on. And also, if you guys are wondering, I think our previous episode, Fishing Kid was saying, you know, fresh is the best. We're fishing in the morning, in the evening for bait fish. And, you know, whatever we're catching, whether it's white bass, drum, crappies, and that's what worked for me. I switch up my bait, by the way. I use crappie, fresh, like Kid was saying. So I tried it, I switched it out, and it worked. What else are we using for bait? Whatever we can catch, pretty much, right?
Smallie. Small. Kind of sacrilege, but yeah.
Oh, boy. We might have to edit that out. I didn't do it. I didn't use a smallie.
It's legal.
There you go.
It's legal. There's always, you know, when people bring up, when it comes to fishing, legal is the excuse, at least for some not-so-popular practices. But, hey, if all I could catch was smallies, they'd be bait for me, too.
There you go. And I forgot to take a picture of my freaking cap. I was so excited.
You didn't get a picture?
I didn't get a picture. I was so excited.
You have any camera going?
It was too far away. I was just so excited. I was so... That was the thing.
You know what they say. It's in the age of the internet. You know what they say. Picture it didn't happen.
Right? It's okay.
No but one's gonna believe you.
I had two witnesses at least, though. So
Who are these witnesses, Danny?
Oh, boy, really? Here we go. Here we go.
I don't know these guys.
But, and this is the thing, you know, I was like a kid in a candy store when I caught that fish today. I mean, this is the thing. It's probably not the biggest fish I've ever seen or ever caught, honestly, I think. Well, actually, not. It might have been the biggest fish I've ever caught, 30-plus pounds. I mean, I don't think I've ever caught a bigger fish than that. To others, it might be like, you know, whatever, but you saw the joy. You heard me. I think the whole freaking lake pretty much heard me when I was, you know, landed that fish. And then that was the one thing. To make things even more difficult, the anchor system. So I got caught up when I was reeling in the fish. I got caught up in my anchor. And I think what Denny, another advice he's telling me for next time is to make sure you have an easy anchor release.
Yeah.
So in case, because it's dangerous, number one, especially with these size of fish.
It can be.
And then plus you don't want to lose a fish. So, I mean, easy way to just release the anchor, make sure you have a float on the anchor so you don't lose the anchor.
Yep.
Kit?
Yeah, so I normally run that float on my anchor line. And a couple years ago, I was anchored up, and I got snagged. So, okay, I'm going to go pop off my anchor. So I popped off my anchor, like 2 seconds later. Oh, shit.
So in other words, he had to go buy a new anchor.
Lesson.
New
it's anchor. A lesson.
Lesson
new,
learned.
A whole new setup.
It's a lesson.
Anchor, rope, float.
Yep. But. I don't think you really sold that story, right? You didn't sell your fish because there was a lot of drama.
It was,
right? Oh, yeah. It started off with all yesterday not catching fish, and this morning was slow. And you know, I appreciated your like fake optimism, but there was also a lot of, well, I'm going to be the one who doesn't catch fish. I'm going to be the one who gets skunked. That's just how it goes. And then, the very first bite. Right, and that rod went down, and that was a good fight.
It was a good fight.
It was fun to watch. And then you're like, oh, shit, it's in my anchor line. And I'm like, oh, man, he's going to lose
this fish.
He's going to
lose it. I saw your
fish. Like, he's going to lose this fish. No, don't lose this fish.
But it, you know
so
what?
It was high drama, man. It was good. It was a cliffhanger. It was a nail biter.
It was.
You're right.
Yeah, and I'm over good. There yelling, like, hey, reel down to the fish. Right. Or, like, release some line so you put your rod out of the way. And
stop doing what you're doing to try and lose that fish.
So, in other words, stay calm.
Stay calm. It's hard.
It's hard.
When you get excited, man, it's hard.
And I knew it was a big fish. So, I was like, mm-hmm. Shoot. I was like, I just got to get this up as soon as I can. I just didn't want anything to go wrong, which went wrong. And that was the thing. Like, I wanted to get up, to get away from my other line, to get away from the anchor line, and of course it ran into it no matter what. So, one of those things.
See, that's the benefit of any time you can fish with somebody who's, like if I go someplace else and I'm fishing in some way that I've never fished with someone who knows what they're doing, I'm like the white belt. I don't bring anything. I don't know anything. Teach me everything you're doing, right? Because people usually learn those lessons the hard way, right? And I don't want to learn my lessons the hard way. I want to learn my lessons. I want to learn your lessons and let you learn them the hard way, and then I'll just, you know.
Thanks, Sydney. But no, you're right on because I think everything that you guys have kind of, you know, just little tips here and there. It's not huge, but it's enough to make a difference.
Little stuff that adds up and totally makes a difference.
Makes a big difference. And then shout out to Spencer. He's not here.
He's too cool to hang out with us.
We're the big time. We're the peasants, right?
He's big time.
He doesn't want to be seen with peasants.
I tried to talk to his scheduling manager, and I couldn't get a phone call with that person. So I think what I have to do is I have to try and send some smoke signals
to
a scout, and hopefully the scout will talk to his manager, and then maybe I can,
I know.
He's big time.
I know.
Yeah. He's doing his thing.
He is.
But we miss you, Spencer. I was hoping you get a chance.
I don't know. I would go that far, dude.
All right.
Man,
Easy.
He talks a lot of smack, but when you can clap back, it feels pretty good.
You're right.
Agreed.
But I'm not very good at clapping back. I just kind of like,
Did you just say clap back, man?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Is that what the kids are saying now?
Yes.
Okay.
I think so.
I'm the youngest one here, after all.
Wow. Man, he had to call me 50. Not even close. Man.
Yeah, one thing I kept telling myself, because I've lost a big fish from grabbing the leader line. So I was trying so hard. I mean, you, Denny, got like 80 pound over here, so maybe it doesn't matter. What do you think, Denny? How do you bring in your fish?
I don't grab the leader line.
At all?
I don't grab the leader line. I don't like nets or... So I don't I call them fish releasers, right? Mm-hmm. But I know a lot of people like the nets. I'm not a fan of the nets because I've lost fish trying to screw around with the net and get it in position. I like my grips, mm-hmm. you know, and the Whisker Seeker grips, they spin, and so it's just a matter of, you know, I like to get the fish up close enough, and then I don't grab the line. I use the buffer of the rod, and I just get them close enough. I can stick them in the mouth with the grips, and then I let them roll, and then I pin them up against the kayak.
Nice. You know?
And then depending. The only thing that sometimes will give me trouble is sometimes when they roll, because the grips are metal, mm-hmm. sometimes when they do that death roll, if they get like two or three, four spins around, they'll wrap the leader into the metal on the grips.
Okay.
So then you got to make sure that you're really careful because sometimes the leader can get compromised.
Yeah.
Right?
And yeah, I saw that happen to you with that fish because it spun around and your leader wrapped around it.
Yep, and then I couldn't untwist get the leader. The leader was kinked up in the grips, and so that leader at that point, you know, it was important that I just got that fish in because it sucks to lose a fish when you've got them on the grips and you think you have a hook in their mouth and then suddenly there's no fish. You're like, what just happened?
Yeah, and shout out to Whisker Seeker sponsor because it was so much fun catching the 30-pounder on the rod and everything. I'm telling you, I don't know if I would have used another rod or anything else. If I didn't, shout out to Kit for telling me to up my line. I think I would have lost it too. I wouldn't be able to do what I did today if I would have used like a 20 or 30-pound line.
Oh, yeah. You want to be geared for the job.
Yeah, for sure. A 30-pound blue cat, the teeth on a 30-pound blue cat will, a 40-pound test line, they can just demolish it on your leader, right?
Yeah. So, and that's why I'm like, because he told me, he goes, dude, don't even think about coming down here if you don't have minimum 50.
Yep.
50-pound line. Yep. I was like, all right. So I went, you know, I obviously went out and got all the gear and got everything, and I'm grateful. You know what I'm saying? Like, I really believe I landed that fish because I had the right gear. Thank you for joining us at Beerfish Fanatics. And this episode is actually brought to you by Whisker Seeker Tackle.
So make sure you guys go to WhiskerSeeker.com for all your catfishing gear.
Enjoy the episode, guys.
That's why I run 80-pound leader, which is a huge, huge pain in the ass when you get hung up. Huge pain in the ass when you get hung up. But I've had, I used to run 50 for blue cats. And I had a blue cat. I had this huge takedown. And then the fish came off, and you could see. I mean, it was up against his teeth,
jeez.
Right? And I was like, whoa.
Was it kind of like jagged?
Yep.
Or a little rough too?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, he got the leader in his mouth, and it ran across his teeth when he had his mouth shut, and he just, you know, and I'm like, and that was it. 80 pound. I'm going heavy. I don't care if I can tie a good knot with it or not. You know.
And thanks to Kit for losing his monster fish, because in my back of my mind, don't grab the leader. When I was reeling that fish in, don't grab the leader. Yeah, and I made sure I just put the grips on the fish before I even touched anything. Just, I wore it down pretty much.
Wear them down. And the thing you all want to remember, especially with blue cats, it seems like, man, they, even after they, you're like, oh, they've been subdued or, you know, but once you grab them, they're going to try and do that death roll.
Yes.
They're going to try and break your, you know, that's, if you're grabbing it with your hand, they're going to try and break your wrist. That's why I like the grips.
And that's why I heard in the background, prepare for the death roll.
Right.
I heard him. I heard Denny. Denny like, Granny, prepare for the death roll.
Be ready for it.
Be ready for it. I was like, all right. And surprisingly, it didn't. It rolled like maybe once.
Yeah.
Or twice, but
it
didn't go like yours. I saw yours.
Yeah.
Because Denny landed probably 30, 35 or two, and I saw it death roll at least four times on you.
Yeah, he spun around a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. that was pretty wild when Denny hooked up because I had nothing going on. So I was like, you know what? I never tried drifting like along a deep ledge. And as soon as I lined up with Denny, boom, 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 boom. He hooks up with that big fish, so that was cool. I got my own angle of the action. He's got his angles, so yeah.
Make sure you guys go check out their channels because I'm pretty sure. I don't. Well, we'll probably release this episode way before your guys' videos, because obviously we're still on site, and we'll probably release this episode next week or in 2 weeks. But Make sure you guys check out Flow Fish Adventures. You can see Danny here. Hopefully he'll show the video of the monster fish he caught today. And same thing with Fishing Kit. Check out his channel. You'll see his PB. It was pretty cool. It was this morning, right? It was this morning.
Yep, my first fish. Actually, I think everybody's first fish this morning was a good one.
Yeah, it was monsters.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was definitely quality over quantity this morning.
Yeah.
That was cool.
We were talking about that. We're like, I mean, would we rather catch, let's say, 20 or 30, you know, 10-pounders, or would we rather catch, we probably caught maybe, what, 6 30-pounders, I think, today. Wait, 1, 2, 3, 4. No, 4. Sorry, I'm over.
Well, John, a little exaggeration there.
So, sounded good. But
that's a good morning for a group, though.
I think so.
That's a solid morning for a group.
I think so. 30-pound blue cat. That's a good-sized blue cat anywhere.
That's a good fish.
Yeah. It made my trip worth it. Like, that's the only blue cat I caught this trip, and if I had to do it again, I would. You know what I mean? Like, it made the trip worth it for me to experience that. The chaos is what I call it, right? The chaos on the kayak.
The chaos. Yeah.
It's, like, so, like, chaotic and somewhat stressful when you're battling that big fish and you're so worried that oh god, I hope he doesn't pop off. I hope he doesn't pop off.
And you're by
trying
yourself
to like put the grips in his mouth and he's like not cooperating. Oh man. But then once you get him in, it just feels so good.
Yeah. You're right. It's like, because you're by yourself technically. You're on the kayak by yourself. There's nobody can really
it's
help
a one man show.
It's a one man exactly. And you're like, man, you don't want to F this up. You don't want to F this. It's like, and then I F'd it all up. It didn't even matter. It's like, okay, I just got to be patient. And that was the thing. Like, you guys are saying, I think patience and calm when you're reeling it in. Just figure out what you need to do to get it in. And I think that was the...
Keep breathing.
There you go.
Keep breathing.
Yeah. I was giving him a hard time. Like, you going to land it or what?
Yeah, he did.
But you should take your time. Because the worst thing you want to do is try to hurry something and then you lose that fish. Yeah, then you'll be salty.
That's painful, right?
I'm not going to lie. That would have ruined my... I might have been up here just drinking the whole time. I would have just like, I'm done for this trip.
When you're like, oh, shit, he's in the anchor line. I was like, oh, he's not going to get a chance at that fish again. And this is going to be bad.
But what I did was I stayed calm and I released the anchor and just let more line out and just took my time. So that was
And it looked like it was hung up pretty close to the surface
because I saw the
that
body.
Helped that helped a lot.
I think that helped tremendously because it got caught right up like Danny was saying, it was right at the surface. I saw the body and then I could see in the water like, oh shoot, it's around the anchor. So then it was close. I technically probably could have grabbed it, but then I was still back of my head, don't grab the leader. It's like, okay, let's just figure it out. And that's what I did. Just took my time, just released the anchor a little bit and give it some slack, and then it tired out.
Grace under pressure, man. You played it well.
See?
Yeah, like for me, my fish, I didn't get to fight him for very long because he got wrapped up, so he came up easy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but once he got unwrapped, I was like, all right, he's getting ready to fight. Mm-hmm. Then that's when I fought him after I brought him up to the surface.
So to the listeners and the watchers, make sure you guys try this out. Try suspended catfish fishing on a kayak. If you're kayak fishing, it's new to me. I've never done it, and it's freaking exhilarating. Like these...
when the rod tip just goes down in the water and the drag starts spitting out, that's so fun. The kayak tips, it feels a little bit sketchy.
Yeah.
That's so fun.
And that's how I knew I caught a fish. Well, I mean, I had a fish on because I was like, I didn't catch anything for 2 days, and I'm like, why am I spinning? I'm like, why? Because there was no wind this morning. I'm like, why am I turning? And then I turn behind me, and then I see my rod, like Danny was saying, was technically in the water. Like, oh, shit. And then I started, and then at first I was like, man, it's a snag. That was my first thought. But they're like, ooh, it's moving. So then that's when I figured out, okay, I got something. And then I reeled because we had the circle hooks. Shout out to the circle hooks because it set it perfectly right in the corner.
Yeah, I don't see how you could set a hook on the fish like in this deep of water trying to set the hook on him.
Yeah,
dude, that'd be hard.
That would be a mess. I mean,
I'm pretty sure people do it, maybe from a boat because you stand up and you have leverage and stuff. But I don't see. I mean, I wouldn't do it. Just use circle hooks. It's easy.
Right. Agreed.
Yeah. I think it was point. You don't. It sets the hook for you, right? And technically,
for the most part,
yeah,
for the most part.
So,
and what I like is when they they thump it and your whole kayak shakes. You're like,
right?
Throom,
like, huh? So cool.
And you look over and your rod's bent over. Oh, so cool.
Yeah, especially because if you have like two rods out or even three rods out, when you feel the thump, you know, but you don't know which rod. Yeah. So you're looking, like, where, which one is it? Which one is it? And you start getting drug one way or tilting one way. That's cool.
And that's why kayak fishing, I'm telling you, if you haven't tried it.
So fun.
Yeah, you got to try it out once in a while. I think it's so cool. I mean, even catching white bass, it was fun off a kayak here.
Love it. First train wreck.
Yeah. So what else you got for this trip? Any other, because we're right now it's Saturday, 100 degrees. We're probably going to have some lunch, and then we're going to head back out there afternoon, evening bite. Any advice or tips that you guys, in your game plan, I guess. What are you guys game planning for this afternoon, evening?
For me, I'll probably head back out on that ledge, but I'm going to look for fish.
Okay.
And then hopefully try to anchor on top of them. But, like, anchoring is kind of difficult, especially in the kayak, because you can't just pick a spot like, okay, I'm going to anchor right here and drop it straight down because the wind or whatever. You're going to push off wherever you're going to anchor. So you got to kind of plan ahead of time. Like, you got to go, I don't know, 25 yards up towards the wind and then have the wind push you back.
But, so you going to drift mostly?
I might. If it's not windy, I think I might try drifting along the ledge.
Okay.
And then if I need to stay in one spot, because I was just using my paddles to stay stationary. And then if I'm not marking fish, I'm just going to keep moving.
Makes sense. I mean,
you know what helps with the, especially when you're in deep water and you have to anchor so that you don't have to let out as much line, is a section of chain, right? So I've got like a 3-foot section of chain that I use.
Okay.
Right. So I go from my anchor line to this section of chain and then my anchor. And the anchor still has, the anchor is set up so that it will pop the zip tie and quick release if it gets hung up. Mm-hmm. But the chain, right? So your anchor needs to lay at the right angle. Right, and if you're dropping it straight down, it doesn't lay at the right angle, and then when there's any wind at all, then it'll pop up and you won't hold in position.
Yeah.
So with the chain is will be heavy, and it will help keep the anchor laying down. It's a pain in the ass to carry around a 3-foot section of chain. So it's something I don't carry with me in the kayak all the time, mm-hmm. but it's part of my. I have an anchor bag that's got all my different little anchor setups. And so it's always with me in my vehicle. So if I'm someplace where I know I'm going to anchor in deep water, I've got the chain.
Needed that tip yesterday, Denny. Thanks. Because I had my
anchor
down.
You needed it before yesterday because if I told you yesterday you need some chain, you'd be like, well, I don't have any chain. Yeah,
very true.
Right?
I was like, so yesterday I was using the anchor. I was like, why the F am I not staying still?
Yep.
And I think exactly what Denny was saying. And then some spots I was like, okay, it stayed still. I was like, that's exactly what happened. It was like the anchor was laying the wrong direction.
Especially when you're on ledges, a lot of time it's rock, you know? So it's not digging in, and you got to hook something, you know? Yeah. And
good tip. No, that's a great tip. Like, I'm going to probably have to do that, get a chain, because that it makes sense now.
Right.
But when I was out there, it's like, why? What the heck? I need to get a heavier anchor. Like, that's what I was thinking. I was like, something's wrong with this anchor. It sucks. It's not holding me. And then it did at the end of the day, and like you're saying, I think it's just because I had the right angle now.
Mm-hmm. If it was like on a flat or something,
yep.
It'd be a lot easier. But yeah, like yep. Denny was saying, we're on a ledge, so you even got to have a more extreme angle for your anchor, or just have it catch on a rock or something.
Yep,
gotcha.
Yeah. That's also why it's really helpful to have your anchor rigged up so that if it snags and hangs up. You pop the zip tie, so you tie it to the crown, mm-hmm. right, which is the part under the opening part, right,
mm-hmm.
and then you run a line up to the top, right, the stem. I can't remember what it's called. There's a term for it, but and then you zip tie to that, so that if it hangs up in a rock or something, you can pop the zip tie, and then it will turn upside down and lift it from the crown and fold it up, and then you don't lose an anchor because you're in 30 foot of water and a bunch of rocks.
Yeah, because, like, let's say this is the anchor and you're hooked onto something. If you got it tied to the top, there's no way that's
you're not getting
out.
It back. Yep.
Mm. That's why you tie off to the bottom, and then with that zip tie, you can basically, you're going to be pulling from this bottom side, so it'll be, like, popping out, like, that way.
You guys have to show me when we go down there, because I think I can envision what you're saying, but you guys are going to have to show me.
right? So if you're right, so your anchor's like this, mm-hmm. right? And you actually tie here, and then you run the zip tie and tie it here. So it's normally like you're tied here, and then this opens up and catches stuff, right? So you're caught like this. But if you hung up now, and I can't get my anchor back because this grapple is hung up someplace, you've got a zip tie here where your line's connected to here, and you can pop that zip tie, and now your line is connected to here, and you're going to lift from the bottom and then just lift it up.
That makes sense. So people who are listening to this on the podcast, go check out YouTube. Because Denny just showed us the visual.
Denny's got a video, actually. That's where I got my idea from.
Well, you know what? We got to put this up on the podcast, then. We'll put it at the video.
That's actually probably the most popular video I have is that anchor video.
Wow. Okay.
It's because it's helpful. It really is helpful.
Yeah.
No, we'll put the link for that video. I'll find it, and we'll pop it up here because that could save your life or save your anchor.
It can. And here's the thing: when your anchor's hung up, and even if you don't tie the zip tie to it the right way, you end up getting straight above it, and you're trying to pop the zip tie or get your anchor, and that's the most dangerous thing is you've got anchor line, mm-hmm. and you're reaching straight down, creating a bunch of potential energy, right? And then if it does come loose, suddenly it's free, right? And you know, the chances of going in the water, it just can be messy. So the way that in the video, the way that I tie mine is so that you can pop the zip tie even if you're lifting straight up.
Do that then.
Yeah, don't you have like a loop?
I have a loop.
Yeah, you have a loop to the zip tie, and then you zip tie it onto the top. Yeah, so I did it exactly that way.
Nice.
Works out. I've never lost an anchor since I've done it that way.
Cool. Mm.
I've lost one since I started doing it that way. Wow. It's because I didn't have a float.
Because I just threw the anchor in the water.
Yeah, pretty much.
You did. Good donation to the structure.
It's probably still there.
I actually lost an anchor that way because I was in position and looking at my sonar, and I'm like, here, this is where I want to be. And I grabbed my anchor and I threw it over, and I hadn't connected it to my anchor line yet, and I just went, oh shit.
Well, you look at the line, go, and then it's just gone.
No, I didn't clip. My line to the, and so it's just the anchor, right? It was just the anchor, and I thought I had snapped it. I could have a big snap, and I just took the anchor. I basically just chucked the anchor in the water and went, well, shit. That was not smart. Yeah.
So what do you use for line management with that? Because if you don't have like a spool or something to tidy up all that line, you just have like freaking, 60, 70 feet of line in your kayak. So what do you use to tidy that up? Anything?
Yeah, so what I have is, how they have the big handle for electric?
Oh, yeah.
For extension cords?
Yep. Mm.
They're in this long. They make small ones. So it's just like hand-sized. So it's probably 6 inches, and I use that. And so what I do is, it's not pretty, but I figure out about how much line I'm going to need to let out. I usually will take that off, and then I have a way that I'll snap that to a float to wherever I'm, so I can release the whole thing. It works, but you're right. I mean, having 30 or 40 foot of anchor line just setting free in the on your deck in their kayak is just an invitation for knots, and so you have to be just. Usually, if you're moving from place to place, and then, now I need 20-foot of line, and now I need 40-foot of line, and now I need back to 20, just take the time and wind up the slack. Mm-hmm. Because if you get lazy about it, you end up, there's usually a price to pay for it.
Yeah. We were talking yesterday, so I don't know if you guys anchor fish a lot, if you're kayak fishermen, but if you do, get some gloves, because I got a nice little rope burn from anchoring yourself. I don't know. You didn't have that at all yesterday?
From pulling it up or from dropping it down?
A little bit of both. Well, actually, mostly just pulling it up because it's freaking up. 50 feet deep. It's like every time, I was like, I got rope burn right here.
Well, for dropping it down, I got a spool. It's like a scuba line. They use it for diving. I mean, it's super thin. The only downside of it is because I got probably 100, at least 100 feet of line, maybe 150. Okay. So there's a lot of line, but it's super thin diameter, and like pulling it up kind of digs into your fingers and into your hand.
Yeah.
But other than that, you know, when I'm pulling it up, I just, I don't know, just hand over hand.
Yep.
All right, I'm out of shape. Obviously.
And that's why you don't want to, it's better to use a section of chain than to try and move up to a 5 or 10 pound anchor, because you do not want to be lifting a 10 pound anchor over and over again.
That's my 10 pound anchor.
Oh,
I had a 10 pound anchor. Yeah, that's what I've been lifting
your shoulder
2 days, guys. That's what I've been lifting 2 days in a row. That's why I'm just, that's why I got rope burned. I'm just like, yeah, I have a 10 pound anchor. She's like, golly, this sucks, man. Yeah, yesterday, keep in mind, I no bites, no fish. I was like, this is probably at least like the 15th time I lifted up this freaking anchor. I was just like, I was getting frustrated.
Yeah,
and I was tired.
Yeah, that's work. That's work.
Yeah,
man, it's heavier than it is too, because you're pulling it up through the water. You get resistance.
Yeah,
you know,
it's all right. See, shout out to my wife. See, I'm gonna have some buff shoulders right? now from kayak anchor fishing.
Is it crowded in here? Oh, it's just those shoulders.
Yeah, just get the claw anchor, dude.
Yeah.
Just, what, three pounds?
Yep, three pound
grapple. That's what I saw you guys. I was like,
yep.
I thought I told you to get one of those.
Oh, well, I had this from previous.
Oh, you had it?
Yeah, so I'm like, save a little bit of money, but then now I realize, I'm like,
save your shoulders.
That $10-$15 was kind of worth it. I probably should have done that.
Yeah.
But now I realize, you know, it's all right.
Lessons. It's all lessons.
Yeah,
lessons.
You got to learn either through yourself or through somebody else.
Yeah. And it, you know, just to kind of give everybody also, I mean, travel to fish. And when I say travel to fish, I really recommend that, because this is the first time I've been at this lake here. It's beautiful. We're at a campsite, and I'll show you guys pictures and everything. But it's really beautiful. Never been here. Go check out other places. We love to fish in Iowa, obviously. I mean, we live there. But I think, you know, traveling, it's just something unique to it. The uniqueness of, number one, you get to travel, meet different people. We got to talk to different people, meet different people, different species, different sizes of fish. It's just, I really recommend if you get an opportunity, if you have a chance, you know, take the family. Take, you know, it must be, but travel and go to different states. See other lakes. I think learning wise, I got to learn so much in like a day and a half with these two gentlemen here, and just coming to this lake, I probably would have never learned. You know what I mean? So I really recommend to anybody, just travel and just go to different lakes, try something new that you've never done before.
Yeah.
And I think it will help you in the long run of becoming a better fisherman. Yeah? No?
Absolutely.
I was going to say, unless you live somewhere cool that has a lot of cool fish, we're coming from Iowa, so it's like, you need to travel. Like, yeah, we're not going to be catching 30, 40-pound blue cats in Iowa.
Very true. But
traveling's fun. I mean, right, it's part of the adventure. I love it. Right? I have two lines of thinking, right? And I try and divide them up with, you know, I like to have what I call my home waters. And what I mean by that is I like to have a few target fisheries that produce trophy fish, and I like to go there frequently, and this is actually one of them for me, right? Even though it's a drive, but so that I learn it, so that I get good at it, so that I know it, so that I can catch fish on it. And because that teaches you how to dial something in, mm-hmm. right? And it's also good to continually go to new bodies of water, and try and figure them out quickly, because that forces you to be adaptable. And when you take those two different skill sets and bring them together, that's that you elevate your game.
Yeah, and not just for the kayak fishermen, I just fishing period. If you shore fishermen, go check another lake out. Different bodies of water has different ways the fish react, and you know, and you learn so many different things. I would say this trip, have you guys learned anything new? Because I know you guys have come down here a few times. Have you guys learned anything new that, like, shit, I'm not going to do that again, or, hey, I should try this next time, or whatever the case may be. Is there anything that you guys learned new on this trip so far?
Kit's got it all down, man. Okay, is there anything left to learn?
Nada. I mean, there's always something new to learn.
Got it.
And like, you know, or experiences to learn from. I think my biggest takeaway here is it's like the big decision I have to make out there is like, do I want to stay in this spot?
Yep.
And wait for the fish to move through, because we're fishing in like a high chance area. Mm-hmm. It's like a highway for the fish. Mm-hmm. You know, fish are eventually gonna move through.
Yep.
But the question is, when is it? Is it 4 hours from when you anchor up? Is it the next half hour? You never know. And then making that decision, do I move now or do I sit it out?
Right. And because in the tough part with that, right, is that, okay, yes, I know we're on this ledge and we know that fish are going to move in up on this ledge, but are they active enough that they're going to be schools moving in and moving through along the ledge and sort of grazing and looking, or is there a spot on the spot where they're all, you know, they're all sitting together, and if I find that spot, then I can get lit, you know, and yeah. You don't know. And from one day to the other, it will change, and you don't know, you know. And so there is always that, I mean, that's the game. That's kind of what makes it fun is that,
yeah.
You know, okay, what do I do? Do I sit here? If I'm on a good spot, I tend to move earlier, right, early in the day or when I first show up, I like to kind of move around. And then if I feel like there's an area where they've congregated, mm-hmm. Then if the bite dies down, I will try and pick what I think is the best spot in that area. Like, okay, where if they're going to move in and out of this area, where's the main intersection, you know? And then I'm usually willing to sit and wait it out. I mean, it's kind of my loose game plan, but.
And I think the spot, like you guys are saying, the spot we have right here is like, it's like a highway. That's a good, great definition of our location. It's like a ledge where it would go approximately from like 25 feet and then literally go to what, about 55 feet?
Yeah, 55.
Yeah.
Maybe 60 in some spots.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think I saw a 60 on my flasher. But it's like you were just saying, because we were talking last night, you're like, this is sooner or later, the fish is going to come through on this location. But like you're saying, how patient are we? Yep. I mean, how much time do we have? And I think this morning we were patient. I think we're all patient. We're like, we kind of stuck it out, and we all landed monster fish.
I like to think of it like this, right? I mean, as a metaphor, and I'm kind of a metaphor guy. But so it's a way to like sort of visualize the whole thing, right? It's sort of like a mall, right? And imagine that like the food court in the mall is in the upper level, mm-hmm. right? So the main entrance to the mall is down on the base level, and then there's a second level, and that's where the food court is. So the fish are in the deep water somewhere, right? They're in the lower level. And at some point when they want to eat, or they're going to move up to the food shelf, right, where the bait fish are. So what you're looking for is, where's the escalator? Because I want to find the escalator, and I want to set up at either the bottom or the top of the escalator. And there might not be anybody there, but I know that all the people down here are going to end up moving through this gateway on this escalator to get up where the food is, right? Mm. And if you just imagine, like, I'm looking for the migration route, the shortest route from the deep water to the food shelf, and just wait.
And ladies and gentlemen, that's how you catch fish. That's pretty bad. No, that's awesome. Like, no, that's a great analogy.
Yep.
Yeah. But like any place on the ledge isn't the escalator, though. That's one thing to keep in mind.
Right. It's not the whole ledge isn't. Yeah. There's going to be little areas where this is the game trail. This is the game trail. Yeah. And trying to figure out where those are. It's usually something where there's more rocks, or there's some sort of intersection, or there's something that the fish can recognize to bounce from point to point to point. Mm.
It's pretty cool. It's the spot that we're at is like, it's really close to shore too.
Yeah, it's convenient.
It's very convenient, and our location here it's really badass. Like we can pull up our kayak right up in here, go down, and we're fishing instantly. And then we don't have the paddle far. It's technically what, about 20-25 feet maybe out at best.
Yeah. Just the initial paddle, and then the last paddle is I wouldn't say far, but, you know, longer than what we would normally have to do to go fish and stuff.
So it's cool just kind of do your little homework. I had no idea, but we looked at Google Maps. It looked like, oh, it's a good spot. It should be access to water. We had no idea. Got here, and then, you know, these guys were able to find a hot spot.
Well, actually, I looked at the lake map, and I was like, I was like, oh, the main river channel runs through here. Mm. So, I mean, fish won't always be here, but there's a good chance that fish are going to move through. So that's kind of my game plan coming in, mm-hmm. is like, where can we go that will have the highest chance of us catching fish?
So do a little homework. Doesn't hurt.
Yeah. Always pace to do your homework.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Especially if you're going to travel.
Yeah, you can't just go to like, all right, I'm going here.
That would be me. Luckily, I have these gentlemen. That would have been me. I've been like, yeah, it looks cool. It's right next to the water.
Yeah, this is my first time at this part of the lake.
Okay.
At this campsite, and I bet this holds fish all year.
You're probably always going to have some fish moving along that ledge.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I would expect that.
Because, I came, early. I think maybe it was, April. Mm. So it was still pretty chilly out. And fished a spot we normally fish, and the fish weren't up there yet. But I didn't even think about this spot.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, this is the first time I've been over on this area. So that's what I learned, right? I got another options, right? Mm-hmm. It's always nice to be like, okay, I know what this spot is like, and I know how, like this, it's windy. It's been fairly breezy here at the campsite, but when we get out on the water where we are, we're protected. So I know if the wind's from the southwest and the wind forecast is fairly breezy, this is still a good spot to come because it's not going to be so bad.
You would have never known until now, but
I
like that.
Those are the things. That's what I'm always trying to do is think about, like my trips, like, okay, I like to figure out, okay, this body of water holds good fish and that body of water holds good fish. But so what, based on the weather conditions, where's the best place to fish that, right? And so you're not fighting the weather because, you know, I'm always trying to dial in, oh, what's the forecast for this weekend? And based on that, what, you know, where's going to be the best place that I can go and be able to keep a bait in position to up my chances of catching fish. So I love the fact that now I've got one more place that I can throw into the list here.
Oh, I like that. It's just like you said, just do your homework. You got if you're gonna travel 5, 6, 7, 8 hours, whatever the case may be, do a little bit of homework. Yep. Helps you out, and you can land a fish of a lifetime, which I did, and hopefully I'll go out and catch another one this afternoon.
Yeah, hopefully
I got a fish of a lifetime this morning. Hopefully I can get another one today.
two fish of a lifetime.
Two fish of a lifetime. Hey, man. But, hey, shout out to Bo, though. Bo did catch his nice PB.
Yeah, Bo caught a PB. I caught my PB.
Randy caught
his PB.
And
Denny just catches big fish, so it's like, another day, whatever.
Another day. Another day in Denny's life.
No, that was still a good fish. I'm pretty excited to catch big fish anytime.
Cool. I don't know. Like I said, I really appreciate the tips and the effort that you guys have given me, helped me out. I think I'm going to use it this, obviously, point forward the rest of this trip. This is definitely not going to be my first and only trip. I think I'm going to come down here more often. I think I'm going to bring the family down here. So, you know, like I said, thanks to you guys. You guys are giving me a good taste, even though it was one. I caught other bait fish, obviously, but it was one massive fish that I was targeting, and I got it today. So
you totally did.
Yep. Thanks.
Congrats, man.
Thanks, man.
Lucky.
So, thanks, Kit. You got anything else for Denny? We're about to do a little bit of lunch, and then I'm going to try catch another PB if I can, hopefully today.
No, man. Thanks for all the food and the hospitality, guys.
Anytime.
I appreciate it for sure.
Yeah, thanks for coming out. I'm glad you could squeeze this into your busy schedule. Yeah.
Well, I do have a busy schedule, but I also, you know, I'm not like Spencer. So. Yeah, no. I'm not too busy.
He can hang with the peasants once in a while.
I can hang with the peasants if I can find the time.
Some don't, so it's okay.
Like, you're going to go catch potentially big fish? All right, I'm in.
I'm in.
Exactly.
I'm in.
But other than that, man, you got anything else for Denny?
So Denny's kind of came out of retirement as far as fishing videos.
Woo-hoo!
So if our listeners want to, check that out, where can they go?
Float Fish Adventure on YouTube. right? So I've been, I took a little hiatus, and, but yeah, so dude, some videos are rolling back in. I got plenty of footage backlogged. It's mostly, the biggest challenge has been just the editing, finding time to edit, but I've been getting some done. So, yeah, Float Fish Adventure on YouTube, and yeah, that would be great.
Awesome. There you go. And you check out his channel. You'll see all those big fish that he always talks about, and it's the reason why he catches those big fish. So
that's Danny catches big fish.
He does. He certainly does. So other than that, like I said, thank you so much for getting me on that fish today, and let's go again. I'm ready. Ready?
Awesome.
I'm ready.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Yep. See ya.
Thanks, guys.